Praise God. Touch your neighbor and say, we are.
In store
for God's plan
for miracles.
Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say,
What is
God's plan
for miracles today?
Praise God. That's a good question, right? So let's specify. Let's be prayerful. And let's go in this particular direction. We need to recognize that the greatest of miracles is not in the stuff.
That's good.
Preaching already, huh?
Yeah.
The greatest miracles is not in the what?
Stuff.
But it's in salvation.
Amen.
And being spirit-filled.
Yes.
Amen? So if you would, I would ask that you repeat after me.
I will believe
God
for salvation.
And being spirit filled.
And
everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. With that being said, if you will, I want you to pull out your notes and a pen and paper, if you will. Pull out your notes, pen and paper from last week. And I want to give you some things, some bullets that I want you to look for. Yep, we'll definitely need to pass out the Bibles today. And because we're going to be reading whole passages of Scripture. And so, if you will, I want you to write these bullet down so that we can be prepared. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
This is just so that we become good students, because I consider this to be a teacher series. And a teacher series, which is comprised of teaching and preaching, is my desire that we are also on the receiving end of learning. Amen?
Amen.
And so, if you will, I'd ask that you write these points down because these are the things that I want you to catch from these passages of Scripture. Number one, write down crucified Christ. The crucified Christ. Number two, demonstration of the Spirit. Demonstration of the Spirit. Number three, faith. That's it, faith. Number four, there'll be 12. Number four, the wisdom of God in mystery. The wisdom of God in mystery. How many of you know that when we ask you all to take notes, we're not just talking to the females? I think God wants to produce men of God as well as women of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That was a good hearty amen from Sister Heather. Thank you, Sister. Amen. Because she has married a man of God. She didn't have to make a man of God. She married a man of God. You should have put a check mark right over there. Singles should have just put a check mark right over off to the... Should have hashtagged it. Right? Marry a man or woman of God. Don't make them. Hashtag that. That was free. Number five, his spirit. And then put this in parentheses, spirit of God. Capital H, his spirit. Capital S, spirit. And then parentheses, put spirit of God. Capital G. Number six, hope. Number six, hope. Please. If you're listening by podcast and you are not just circulating throughout your house, taking care of your many home things and you're driving, do not stop to take notes. Amen. Number seven, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go faster. While you're doing that, for those that are very quick, if you will, I ask that you would turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in the process. Number 8, love. Love. Number 8 is love. And number 9, believing. Number 9 is believing. Number 10, which we have had in the communion today, but just kind of incorporating this understanding, but the precious blood of Christ. Write that down. It's good to see you in service today, Pastor Merritt. I don't know if it's because you just celebrated your 40th birthday or not, but we are overjoyed to celebrate it with you. And everybody said, praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. Welcome. The precious blood of Christ. Number 11 is love one another. Number 11 is love one another. Number 11 is love one another. And number 12, last one for now, will be born again by the word. Born again by the word. So you had 12 points, and those 12 points will come up in these next two passages of Scripture. And these next two passages of Scripture we read fairly quickly because they're just the opening to get us to where we want to preach today. If you can bring that up now, that'd be great. Thank you. If you want to follow along, either on the screen or you can follow along in the Bible. You still will need the Bible tangible in front of you for later. But let us begin at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it pretty fairly quickly. Can I find out where the cordless is, the handheld cordless, please? It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This is the actual whole chapter. It will only make sense as we read it. It says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except," say that with me, "Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That was one of your points, right? So one of the things we focus in on is not convincing people and not being convinced of here of lofty words and great extensive wisdom, but rather, much rather, give us a focus. And the focus is what? To focus on what? Jesus Christ and what? And Him crucified. Great, great, great. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit." In what?
Demonstration of the Spirit.
Okay, now I need you to catch this. Demonstration of the Spirit. Quick note. How many of you know that oftentimes seeing is believing? Are you with me? Say it out loud with me. Say, seeing
is believing.
This is a powerful message. Great revelation. I can see some of y'all going back and teaching the word that you're about to learn. Amen. I just learned something this week. It was beautiful. I love it. I'm going to share it with you. But seeing is believing. Are you with me? All right. So therefore, Paul makes this indication that it's the demonstration of the Spirit and power. It's demonstration. Are you with me? Say demo. Right? So here it is. It says this. Notice that's one of our points. That your faith, why do we need to see it? Why do we need to see some demonstrations? Why? Because your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the power of God manifests. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry. Preaching to myself already. Listen. And the power of God, the demonstration of God's power, becomes something that you commit to and live by. Are you with me? How many of you know that words can be sometimes in need of demonstration? Right? So here's the point we're trying to make, is that seeing causes you to lean in and believe it. Amen. Here we go. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Everybody see that? It's good Bible teaching right there, right? In other words, had they known, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. If they knew everything that was going to happen for the rest of us, they wouldn't have never done it. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who what?
Love him.
Who what?
Love him.
One of our points, who love him. Just in case I need to go back over it again, remember I talked about last week that we spend a lot of time, especially in today's doctrine and especially people within our ministry, we spend a lot of time talking about God's love for us.
Yep.
Right? Please, I'm not here to offend. I'm just going over those scriptures. We talk a lot about God's love towards us. I likewise believe in that. But notice what the text says. The text says it talks about our love for him. Everybody with me? Okay. These things God has revealed to us through his what?
Spirit.
By his what?
Spirit.
This is very, very important. By his Spirit. Amen. Say it's by his Spirit.
By his Spirit.
That's why we're going to finish the text, because many of us have really longing, deep needs, desires, dreams, promises, things we want, which are good, which are godly, which are for righteousness, which are to live a godly life, a good future. But we may not always know how to walk into it. We may not know how to receive it. Right? So what we're doing here is we're establishing there is a way for us to know what God has for us. And the way we know what God has for us is by his what?
Spirit.
So here's a little clue. So the more acquainted I am with God's Spirit, the more I can be acquainted with what God has for me. I'm gonna say that again. If I have more understanding, more relationship with God's Spirit, the more I can come into the understanding of what he has for me.
Amen.
The scripture just said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Get this. I know what God wants for me in my heart. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him.
Amen.
So at best, we're guessing. That's good preaching right there. If we weren't guessing, right? If we weren't guessing, there wouldn't be 75% changes in majors.
Right?
That's plain, right?
It's plain.
If we were guessing, if we were not guessing, now God can work all things out for his good and glory, right?
Yep.
But if it wasn't for guessing, we wouldn't graduate in one major and then go start a job in another, in something different. Praise God. Can I break it down one more time?
One more time.
I wouldn't be on my eighth date if it wasn't a guess. Well, you don't get that? Okay, let's no. Brother, gonna trip challenge me. That's good. Brother's like, no, I don't get it. Jesus had a lunch date. He didn't eat, but it was a lunch date. Yeah, thirsty. Yep, here she comes, right on time. Hey, how you doing? If you knew who I was, you'd be asking for something to drink. How you gonna give me something to drink? You don't even have anything to dip with. Okay. Hey, why don't you go get your husband, honey? Well, I really have had a couple of relationships, buddy. You got that right. She had had what? Five husbands. She was living with the
six.
But Jesus was number seven. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
My point is, guessing on which spouse or which mate is supposed to be for me. Right? Man, that was a long way around. That's the way I treat y'all. I'm sorry. Man, you done took us all the way to John chapter 4 just to tell us we don't know which one to date? I mean, come on, Pastor. You could have just said that straight. Sorry. So the point is, for it's by his spirit, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's by his spirit. I need to stay focused. Now, don't distract me anymore. Aaron, do not distract me anymore. Amen. For the Spirit searches everything. I love this. For the Spirit searches everything, even the what? Depths of God, right? For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And everybody said amen. Amen. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Taught by the who?
Spirit.
He's the teacher, right? Interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person, this is one of the reasons I wanted to read the whole chapter, is because of this part right here. It says, for the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit himself, of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. What that means is the things of the Spirit are challenging and difficult to understand from the natural man. Another way of saying it is that it's not logical, right? Like, for instance, like this. To gain this world, you've got to lose your life. I mean, to gain life, you've got to lose your life. In order to learn how to be a leader, you've got to first be a follower. Right? In other words, in order for me to have a great marriage, I've got to be far better at serving than I do leading. Everybody with me? So in other words, the things that's of God may not be the things that's of this
world.
So therefore, if we try to do God's way, the world's way, we'll fail, we'll go wrong, right? So therefore, we need to be more acquainted with the Spirit of God. Everybody say the Spirit of God.
Spirit.
Okay. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Read that last part. Ready, said, read. But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? Okay. So in this passage of scripture, you look at your bullets that you wrote down. We've covered several of them. Now we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is not the entire chapter, but it is a few pulled out verses for us to see it. Okay. Thank God for what Brother Peter has said, that we are in the midst of Holy Week. We want to recognize it as such, but we're wanting to really move towards something, and that's why we're going over certain scriptures. Verse 3 says this, from the Apostle Peter, a very different writer from Paul. So there it is. Here's Peter, but he writes this. He says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be what? He's caused us to be what?
Born
again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are born again into a whole new hope, a living hope from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 8, though you have not seen him. Though you have not seen him, you what? Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God. We are what?
Believers in God.
We're believers in God. We're not believers in stuff. We're believers in God. Amen. Who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. I can't emphasize this enough, that our love, that our faith, and that our hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails or falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Does anybody see that? The word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. Praise God. A lot of text. We don't even have to go over it anymore. They are covered in your bullets. Are you with me? So please associate each of those phrases, not made up on my own, but just pulled out of the scriptures, specifically the English Standard Version. Now, we've covered 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we've covered passages or verses from 1 Peter chapter 1. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right. So with that being said as our foundation, the Treacher series, Aman. What is it?
Aman.
And when we talk about Aman, I love this week and I love being a part of BCC. You know, I'm so thankful for the wisdom of God that didn't make it a 4-sentence title. Amen.
Aman.
Isn't that something? Let me tell you why. Because out of all the series that are of recent times, there were more text, emails, people putting this out there on Facebook, all kinds of mediums, but people were using Aman this week. Are you hearing me? And praise God that that single word came into our knowledge of what it means. I hope you can write some few down. I'm going to add some today. Is that it means to believe. Aman means to believe. Say believe. And what we are working through and why we're in the middle of this series is because we need to come back to the foundation of what we really believe. Amen?
Amen.
And this is not something that you take for granted or this is boring. Remember what I said? The very things that you want to know about your life, how do they come? They come by way of the Spirit. Therefore, they come by way of believing. Are you with me? Here's another way. To be established, to be established. Aman means to be established. How? To be established as firm, to be established as foundational, to have the real genuine. I called it to have to be rooted or to have genuine grounded, to be well grounded, to believe or to aman is to be believed and to be well grounded. It means to be established. And we need to be established in God, not in on if something happens today or not. And the reason this is so maybe precious to me is because I think that some of us have reduced our lives down to an if I had a good day or not. That caught some people, right? I was going around. I was being so nice, wasn't I? And then just come in, you know what I'm saying? But here's the issue is that I believe that even when we attend church, right, I just want to hear some nice songs, a good message, 3 points. I hope Pastor speaks clear today, right? And I hope we get out on time. It don't take that long. And maybe a few people get saved. And that was a good church service. Right? And so for as a collegiate, Mama asked you, did you go to church today? Yeah, Mama, I was there. Because you fulfilled something good today. And I'm wanting us to come to the place, and here's my heart. I'm just opening it up and let you see it. I want us to grow in Christ.
Amen.
I don't want us to be in, I don't want me to be, and I don't want us to be in the same place we are next year as we are today.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
I mean, sincerely. I just, I know Christ is about growing. Do you know in the world we call it anything that doesn't grow? I don't mean this negatively. Anything that doesn't grow, we call it retard. Or it doesn't advance. It is held back. And God has not made us to be retards. He's made us to be a growing people. Are you with me? We go from glory to glory. We go from what? Glory to glory. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to go from glory to glory. Now shout it out loud. Say, it's going to come from our believing. Come on, somebody. I'm going to give God a praise offering for that. Amen. We've got to be established. It's the aman. I've got to be established. Are you hearing me? I don't care what some atheist comes along and says to me. Right? I don't care if you go back, pull up the tomb, pull out the bones, show them directly to me and say, these are Jesus' bones. I'd be like, It's very hard. He didn't need those in the end anyway.
Right.
Come on, somebody. My aman is well established no matter what you bring to me.
Come on
up there. Glory to God. I try to teach men right now, and this is the thing to deal with purity, but it comes from believing, right? It comes from what?
Believing.
I said, you know what? My wife, Sister Anna, she trusts me. She trusts me. But thank God, she trusts me because I trust me. Now, I'm not saying these things are not impossible, but this is the point that we want to come to in our believing, men of God. Well, I tell people, I say, you know what? I don't care if somebody comes, is totally unveiled, run up, try to jump up on me. I'm steady pushing down and say, honey, can I pray for you? Because I'm not persuaded by how you come at me. I love my wife. I believe what Christ has given to me. She is my gift. And no matter what you bring to me, I don't need that. Is anybody going to say, I'm on? Say, I'm established. Amen. Praise. All right. That's not what the series is about. Three more things. Write them down. Amplified Bible says this. To believe, New Testament, believe, Amplified Bible, write it down. Amplified Bible says this about believe. Is to rely on, to cleave, or cling, or to trust in. So to believe means to rely on. And that's a really great question. Do I aman Jesus? Do I rely on Jesus or do I rely on myself? Right? Do I trust my intuition? Do I trust I hadn't seen this before or do I trust Jesus? Right? All right. So that's a great amount of definitions. And now I really got to go fast. Clicker. Anybody help me out? All right. Thank you. So, with that being said, two messages so far. The first message was believe that Jesus paid it all. Amen? Today's message is more about believe God's vision. Believe God's vision. So, in this series, we've got to break this thesis down. We've got to break this thesis down. And so, in more of a scientific kind of a format, I know, Dr. Johnson, that you may have been around thesis enough. Amen. And everybody said, praise God. We got a new doctor in the house, but to me, you're still going to be elder uncle doctor. Because before you ever became a doctor, you were elder uncle. So, amen. So let's break this thesis down now. The thesis is, read it out loud, ready, set, read. The litmus test of liturgy is not the letter, but rather living epistles in a loving exchange. One more time. The litmus test of liturgy is not the letter, but rather living epistles in a loving exchange. Praise God. We're going to go fast. So, Treaching breakdown thesis. A litmus test means this. We understand that it comes from a chemistry background. The litmus test deals with testing, litmus paper, acidity of things. We understand that. But it also has some revelation and understanding of in the political realm as well. We're not using them in any realm. We're pulling them out of those. We're extracting them and we're applying them to ministry because the definition means a decisively indicative test. So we're doing a litmus test, or a decisively indicative test of what? Of liturgy. Say liturgy. Liturgy is the expression or forms of public worship. It's the rituals. It's the ways. It's the means in which a ministry, or the means of which what we call denominations, or a means of which certain camps go about things, right? Some of us may come from traditional churches where the beginning of a church, there's a devotion, and you get the deacons up there and they sing some songs and they lead some things, right? We could talk about Episcopal, right? Or a Presbyterian Episcopal, where they go through and they have certain liturgies. They may have call and response, or they might read where there's responsive reading, like in Lutherans, right? And they may be all scriptures. You know, I used to go to the Catholic church with my wife with her parents when they were more rooted in Catholicism. And I would, you know, sit up at the top of the church, and when the priest came out and he started reading, you know, they don't say like Mark chapter 9, right? They just start reading. Are you with me?
Yes.
Well, I don't mind that liturgy style, but it was quiet, right? And he started reading. So my Bible started click, 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 click. And you can hear it. People was turning around like, what's going on? Sister Adam was like, stop it. Right? I was like, he's reading from Mark. I just wanted to follow. Are you with me? But I'm not bothered about that. You know, that's right, leave it out. You know, it's the word of God. I'm not hung up on your liturgy style. That was good teaching. That's how we became interdenominational. We can have a Presbyterian sitting next to an apostolic.
Amen.
Apostolic, yeah. Sitting next to a Baptist. Baptist, yeah. Sitting next to a charismatic. Charismatic sitting next to a Catholic. Yeah. Jesus.
A bit like heaven.
Somebody. Thank you, brother. It's Jesus, right?
Amen.
All right. So listen. I'm not going through them, but the original message, the original reason why we're going through some of these would be the examples of creeds, like the Apostles' Creeds, the Nicene's Creed, and to really understand that what we live in is not made up by just modern and contemporary things. Matter of fact, if all you do is you live by modern and contemporary Christianity, that means you're not well-rooted. I'm gonna say that one more time. If we do not recognize that people have been living for Christ for 2,000 years, we may think that we got the whole message. And we were not built and established on a foundation.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
The reason I'm saying this is because we can sometimes become arrogant Christians.
Yes.
Right? And an arrogant Christian would look back and say, well, they didn't know much. Mm. Right? Look how much more we know. Right? That's easily transferred into today, where we can look at the church down the street and say, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to worship. Now, we really worship. We're one body. Jesus died for us all, not just for me. Everybody with me? I think maybe we should have talks like this. It's not just about me. When Jesus introduced the prayer, he said, Our Father. Right? And you know why many of y'all are drawn here? Because it's what Poppy said, is this ought to be a reflection and a remembrance. I know we're just talking about skin tones, but it ought to reflect what heaven will be like.
Yep.
Is everybody with me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right. So that's what liturgy is. And everybody say living epistles.
Not letter.
Okay? Everybody turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I like to read this from the New King James. I'll read it quickly, that way we're covering more of the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So our decisive, indicative, test leads us to how Our liturgy is played out or expressed in our private lives and in our public lives and when we gather together corporately. So in verse 1, it says this: do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles? That means letters. So the word epistle means letter. It means like a handwritten letter, as the writer of this particular epistle would have stated, which would have been Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul after his conversion. So therefore, Paul is writing this letter or this epistle to Corinth, or the region of Corinth, where there was a church established in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, because he established that church, it was built upon what he believed. It was built upon his revelation of Jesus. It was built upon Peter came by there. There were other apostles that came by there, like Apollo. And so therefore, here he is. He's writing this what's believed to be a third letter. We don't know what happened to the second letter. But this is, we call it 2 Corinthians, but we have reason to believe it was the third letter that he had written to the church of Corinth. Amen? Okay, so here it is. He says this: do we begin to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles or letters of commendation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. Look at that, you all. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the what?
Spirit.
But by the what?
Spirit.
Of who? The living God. Which is to say, we are living epistles. And then it says, but of God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, for our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter. Not of the what? Not of the letter, but of the. Now, here is the whole reason why. For the letter does what? But it's the Spirit of God that gives what? Hallelujah. Amen. It's this awesome and incredible message and a word of God. Here is something to get you to understand why we have a liturgy like this that's so understanding, and we are the heart of God, and why is it that we believe in the grace received from Jesus Christ and attempting to teach truth, that truth would empower you to make you free. We've got a person that originally was a part of BCC, and they now, we have helped them. We have spent a lot of counsel time with them, other pastors on BCC, as well as Sister Ann and I. We spent time with them to find out where they might be better placed in the kingdom of God at a different ministry. And they're in a different ministry. But here's what we've come to grow and understand. Maybe they, you know, we want them to be a part, and they still have family relationships with us. However, they're growing better at another church. Because the way they go about it at that particular church is a little bit more structured, a little bit more kind of boundaries and borders. And you do it this way, and you do it that way. Are you with me? I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. But for some of us, we don't necessarily have to have it go like that in order to grow. Right? Some of us, many of y'all are extremely educated, spiritually deep, read the scriptures on your own. You're following Christ. You pant after him. You want him. You know what? Praise be unto God. That's wonderful. We hear our liturgy is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the liberty is, I want to follow after the Christ. He died for me. He paid the price for me. And he didn't pay a portion, and I'm still in debt to it. No, he paid it all. And therefore, my heart melts when I think of him. I love him because he first loved me. That's a liberty and a responsibility that I'm going to take that, not on Sunday. I'm going to take that Monday through Saturday, come back on Sunday, corporately worship of what Monday and Saturday look like. I don't need somebody to police me, follow after me, make me wear certain things. I'm going to be modest when I go to the store and pick my clothes. I'm going to be the one that sits on my knees and pray unto God, not because something's wrong, but because I want to be in better relationship with him. I want to live. The Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Hallelujah.
So the scripture here deals with it in this way. We're not talking about of the letter. Say letter.
Letter.
The letter is like the law. The letter is based on rules. Right? I know some of y'all want more rules. But the first rule has to apply. Jesus Christ. Is everybody with me? Some of y'all have been quiet because I kept talking about not stuff, but salvation and spirit filled. And you're a little concerned that pastor must be weaning away from the stuff. I was hoping that he was going to teach a little bit on still a little stuff, because a little stuff helps me. Right? I'm not weaning from stuff. Reprioritizing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And it takes some honesty to say, you know what? I think the reason why this hit home last week is because we saw in some of us, I have been seeking stuff, answers, things that I'm praying for rather than the one I'm praying to. Let's talk about healing. You can pray for healing or you can pray to the God who heals. And the reason this is so cleverly being spoken is because of this. Nobody really knows except the Word, the Holy Spirit, and God. Right? Scripture says that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that it's the Word of God that is the divider of soul and spirit, of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Right? That's why we want to be the living epistle, the living letter, which rightly divides our heart to our intents of our heart. Amen. I think it's wonderful to graduate from college with whatever degrees you want. Seek the Lord first. Now, sometimes I preach really complicated and y'all go away frustrated. I think I'm speaking really clear and plain. And y'all look at me like, can you say something deep? Everybody say, I'm on. All right, let's do this. Go to Loving Exchange. 1 John, everybody turn to 1 John. I'm going to drive this one in. This is the litmus test portion that the decisiveness is one, living epistle, and two, what? Loving exchange. The first one is what? Living epistle. The second one is? Say loving exchange. It's a loving exchange. Loving exchange. Okay? The reason we're spending time on the loving exchange portion is this. The living epistle says that we are God's living proof. We are the living proof. We're the living proof that God is alive. We're the living letter. People are reading us. People are reading us. People are reading our message that we're giving. Does that make sense? Remember at the beginning, I started thinking about what they used to know about me in St. Louis. And they don't know me like that anymore. Right? I don't have to open any Bible, tell them to go to Genesis. I don't have to do any of that. They walk away and say, he different. Because we are read by people. Is everybody with me? Write this down. I should not. Write it down. I should not be placed in any compromising situation. I should not be misread. Now, it can happen, but I should not be placed in any misread situations. Praise God. All right. So loving exchange is this. God is loving me. And God says in multiple scriptures, I am to love him. Jesus comes and says, God loves you and you love God and love each other. So there's three loves here. God to me to God. And God's love to me also to love others. It's a loving exchange. Now here's what the scripture says. The scripture says, and we'll read it, 1 John chapter 4, going from verse 7 to 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another. Whoops, sorry. Let us love one another, for love is what? And everyone who loves is what? Born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is in this, the love of God was manifested toward us. That God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Everybody see that? In this is love. Now, here comes to me the definition of love, like how to apply it, how to put it into practice, how to know that we're doing it or living it out or being it. In this is love. Not that we love God, see, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to what? Love. Now, ask this question. So what does that mean, right? Look over, jump back over to chapter 3 right quick. Just jump back to chapter 3. I think it was clever of those who canonized the Bible. Because look at it, it's 1 John 3:16. Right? 1 John 3:16. So look at verse 16. That's all we need is verse 16. We'll go right back to chapter 4. But verse 16 says this. By this we know love. Okay? So by this we know love. This is how we know love. Because he did what? Lay down his for us, and we ought to also lay down our lives for our brethren. Herein is love. Remember how John said this in 15, John 15? For greater love, no man than this, that a man would what? For his quick marriage ministry. Therefore, the way your spouse becomes your best friend is for you to lay down your life for her or him. Because that means you love them. Did anybody catch that? Greater love, no man than this. Greater love, no man than this, that a man would what? Lay down his life for his? For his brethren, or in John says, for his friend. And therefore, how to become best friends with your spouse is to lay down your life for them. For that's how you love them. And everybody said amen. Amen. Jump right back. I'm trying not to bore you. I promise I'm going to have a good part at the end. Listen, go right back to 1 John 4. Verses 12 and 13. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. His love has been what? Can I tell you a little story real quick? I was listening to Joyce Myers and she made this statement. You know, she's a phenomenal author, right? She wrote the book Love Revolution, right? And when she wrote the book Love Revolution, this is what she said. It did terrible. She said it did terrible. She said it was the lowest selling book of her books. Think about the concept. Love Revolution. You have 7,000 and 8,000 people. They said this was 7,000 and 8,000 people at a conference, and they would only sell 112 of them. Love Revolution. And you know why? It's because we think we got it. We think we have it. or it's so populated and so overused, love this, love that, love God, God loves us. We think it just comes in this ear. Got that part. Right? I heard that since I was three. Yes, Jesus loves me. No, don't sing today, man. But yet and still, it's the very thing that creates conflict among everyone we're supposed to love. Amen? Somebody say amen. So maybe it's not something to take for granted or think that we got it all. But maybe it's something that we might need a revelation on. Is everybody with me? Say,
I need
to see.
Yep,
got you, baited you on that one. I need to see, right? Because seeing is believing, right? All right, so let me finish this out. I'll read quickly, and we'll get everybody in place here. Tell you what, I'll wait on that one. Here, let me just jump to this next portion for time's sake. The series is based off of these three texts. I'm skipping tracks. The series is based off of these three texts, okay? Everybody go to Genesis 15, because that's where we're going to hang out. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, right? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that, to what? Believe. First to the Jew and also to the Greek. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For the word of God says, for the just shall live by faith. Got it? So that's part of the revelation. Second Chronicles chapter 20:20 is where in that text, in chapter 20, verse 20, we see the word aman in Hebrew spoken three times. Believe, be established, and believe. Three times the word aman. Okay? What we're going to look at today is the very first time the word believe is used. Write this down. Great notes. First time in the whole entire Bible, the word believe is used, or aman. The first time, and this is called the law of Genesis. This is called the law of first beginnings, meaning the first time it's stated is then becomes the establishment of every other time that is going to be used. So here's the first time it's used in the Bible. Guess what? Write this down. First time the word righteousness is used in the Bible. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. First time the Bible has ever used the word righteousness. 15 chapters has not used the word believed and has not used the word righteousness. This is the first time it's used. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Say, this is not boring.
This is not boring.
This helps my aman. I agree with that. I'm on. What I want to do is establish this before, just kind of bait you a little bit. Please, 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 next week for Resurrection Sunday, maybe you're going out of town, be with family, those. But for those of that are going to gather for the celebration, please bring along people that you know and they've shared with you at dinner or whatever, that they feel like they're in a backslidden state. They feel like, you know, they've lost all their hope. They feel like, you know what, I'm far from God. I feel like God's far from me. They may feel like they're stumbling. They may feel like they're walking in darkness. They once knew God, but they don't know God any longer. They might be like Isaiah 53, have gone astray. Whatever it might be, could you please bring somebody alongside you that might be dealing with that? Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Amen. So what I want to do is go to Genesis chapter 15. And the reason I'm doing this is just to kind of speed up and hit this end part of this message. Two things I would like to do. Genesis. Oh. All right. Where's that microphone? Thank you. Are you got that? Nope, you don't have that. That's right. You got it, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Genesis 15, I want you to start at verse 1 and just keep it open there. Starting at Genesis 15, 1 to 6.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and the number of stars, and number the stars. If you are able to number them, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall be your offspring.
Verse 6, go ahead.
And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness.
And everybody said amen. Amen. I'm telling you only because of time do I have to do it this way. But listen, verse 1, famous passage of scripture. So I'm not teaching the whole text, just this point. Verse 1, the spirit, the word says, and a vision comes to him. Right? A what? And it comes to him in the form of a dream, or it comes to him in the form of word. Comes to him, it's a vision of God, and it comes in the form of a dream, or it comes in the form of words from the Lord. It's officially directly from God, but it's in the form of a vision, and it comes in the form of words. Everybody with me? And after he says, look, I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. This is not the first time he tells Abraham this, but this is what I want you to see out of it. In verse 2, what does Abraham say? Look at it. What does he say? Just give me a little glimpse.
What can you give me? I'm childless.
What can you give me? I go childless. The word of the Lord comes to him in the form of a vision, and what happens? He starts what? He starts asking for stuff. Everybody get that? I'm not on Abraham about doing that because that's just like us. I'm not mad at him. Let me tell you why. It's because he's asking for good things. I mean, this is biblically a good thing. I want to be an heir. I want to write it down. Remember, it's in the 12 points. I have a hope. I want to have a hope in my own family. I have a hope. I want somebody to love. I want a hope in a future. I want to love. I want something good. He didn't ask for something that was bad. He asked for something that was good. Say, I'm asking. For something that is good. Aren't you asking for things that are good? Right? A degree, a spouse, a companion, somebody to love you the rest of your entire life. Aren't you asking for children, naturally born, children to love and care for? You raise them up. Aren't you asking for to go into ministry, go to Bible college so that you can help advance the kingdom of God and enlarge it? Sister Amanda, aren't you asking for something good to be in ministry and to minister to women as a need and single parents and how you overcame things and pastoring from Atlanta all the way to here? Aren't you asking for things to be blessed to your children? Aren't you asking for things that you all don't have a house, you're paying rent, money's going out, and you want to get a house so that therefore you can be able to invest and not be frustrated over losing money?
Amen.
Am I being real yet?
Yes.
Abraham was asking for something that was good. What happens though in verse number five? Somebody read to me. Just read out loud. Somebody, anybody.
He brought forth him from abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and number the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him,
And everybody said, Amen.
Amen.
Never saw this before. I knew it, but I never saw it. Good teaching in the history understands that the entirety of this conversation is taking place in a tent. Word of the Lord comes to Abram. You know what? I'm your exceedingly great reward. He's in a tent. It's an empty tent. You haven't given me a child yet. Where's the stuff? Don't worry, that hit my head. Don't worry about it. He's inside the tent. And how many understand when you are inside of it, you are only looking at the resources that you have on the inside. How am I going to have a baby in here? We're getting old. You haven't given me the stuff yet. And he has a vision. He has a true word from God. He has been visited by God. And he does not move on it. He starts asking, where is the stuff? And in verse 5, some of y'all's translation says, and he brought him outside. He brought them from inside the tent to the outside of the tent to get you out of your comfort zone, to get you out of what's enclosed, to get you out of your box, because he had to bring them outside and he says, look up at the stars and see if you can number them, because we need to see it to believe it. And when he looked down and he started seeing the stars and he started seeing the outside, he saw the endless possibilities of what God can do. Verse 6 says, and he believed God. Amen. Seeing is believing. That was the vision God gave him. And when God did that, notice that God didn't give him the stuff. Gave him far exceeding something that had never been done before. He says, I account that to you as righteousness. That's a good word. Say, come out the tent and look outside. You need a vision. You need to see it. Peter, I need you to play. Can you do that now? We need to see it. Say, see it. How many understand seeing it is believing it? Yes, he had a word from God. Yes, God had been repeating to him, this is what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give it unto you. But it wasn't until he came out, looked up, put his eyes on something that it got mixed into it. Can I tell you what that's called? Demonstration of his spirit and power. And that's why our faith should be established in what God shows us and that he's real. You know what? I used to curse. I stopped cursing. I used to be in sin. I stopped being in sin. I used to be addicted to pornography. I stopped being on pornography. I used to be looking at every skirt that walked past. I now look in purity with my eyes. I don't longer have lust of the flesh. I don't have lust of the eyes. I might still deal with the proud of life, but because he delivered me from those things, he will also deliver me from this thing. Seeing it, living it, is believing it. Live it is in faith. Say demonstration.
Demonstration.
Now, it just wouldn't be fair unless I demonstrated it. Can I get Sister Michaela? You come up now. I need Pastor Holly. Can you come up for me real quick? Thank you very much. Brittany, remember I said, come on up. Edge, I need you to come up real quick. Come up. Chris, please come up with your sister right there, please. Thank you very much. Sister Anna, would you come up? Amanda, I need you up here with Michaela. Thank you very much. Brittany, over here, between them. Is Sister Tynez in here yet? They're still with... Okay, that's fine. Say demonstration.
Demonstration.
Christian, come here. Christian, come here. Amen. And Chris, hold on. Could you come over here, please, if you would? Thank you so much. And you stand with Christian. Thank you very much. Jeff, remember I told you about this? Come on, Jeff, come here. Right there. Amen. Come, hurry. Say demonstration of spirit and power. That our faith, that our belief, what we're established in, is in the power of God and not in just words. Somebody say amen. Now, here's what I want you to see. Christian has been asking, telephone, text message, stop me after church. I just want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pastor, I've been learning about this. Been in church all this time, but want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because you might be here the whole time, but you haven't entered into the fullness of everything that God has. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Says, can I just be baptized in the Holy Spirit? So last week, when the altar call came, he responded to the altar call because there's more of what God has for his life. They have been going, listen to me, they have been going from one financial trial to another financial trial. Along the way, getting, picking up all kind of degrees along the way. But in the midst of it, sanctification comes, set apart for holy use. Here he comes, right in the midst of it. I want to be spirit-filled. But also in the same week, he receives a job for multiple thousands of dollars with an architecture firm. What is God like? He demonstrates by power and by spirit. You see, it wasn't the job. I want God. Y'all know Sister Edge is hard to hear. She got that accent and she starts speaking fast. It's hard to understand. So therefore, your spirit just has to listen to her. Bless the Lord, sister. I know God was in there somewhere because you're full of Christ. You know what I'm saying? You may not understand all of the things he says. But oh, there can only be so much hunger and so much thirst and so much reading and so much wanting of God that God will do whatever it takes, even though it may not have ever happened before, in order to fulfill it by demonstration. She wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She wanted to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. Where the microphone go? Thank you. Give it just a little bit. I know we're going late. Just a little bit. Right before Resurrection Sunday. Jeff Good, give the story. Just a little bit of it.
Okay.
Y'all come
on. I don't know. Did you call me or did I call you? I called her. And she basically, I don't know how we got started on it, but I just kind of asked her, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? And
wait a minute. Have you ever been what?
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Have you ever been what?
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Go ahead.
And she kind of was like, I don't know. I think so. And then she's like, I don't think so.
Stop. Sounded like a lot of us sitting down right now. I'll go demonstrate my phone. Yeah. I really enjoy the songs of praise and worship. I'm filled. I kind of am. I don't really know what they mean, but I'm kind of not. You see, we mean something really specific. And it's not based on how well the song goes. Are you with me? Go ahead.
So she's like, I was like, well, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And she's like, yeah. And so then I was like, okay, let me go get my dad quick.
Stop. True story. She's kind of like, big brother, lead me in this prayer. I'm going to go get my dad.
Go ahead. So then my dad just kind of told her about it and how the Holy Spirit's a gentleman and how you have to make this decision for yourself. And he told her that, I don't think I've ever done this over the phone before, but in 30 years, he's never prayed for someone to receive the Holy Spirit and they haven't received it. So,
amen.
We prayed, and then after, I don't know, after like 2 hours, she called me back and she's like so excited. She'd just been praying.
So what happened? Just that little part. So, speak slow.
Wait, talk about when it happened.
After he prayed. Go
ahead. After he prayed, yeah. He basically, like, it wasn't flowing for me. I was like, oh my gosh, like, how is this like not happening, you know? And then his dad would just tell me, like, just begin to thank God that you have it, you've received it by faith. So I remember. I remember I was like praying and I was like, okay, God, like I'm not going to leave until like comes, you know, because I was like, you said that I can have it, you know. So I was like praying and then Jeff's dad said he would just come out, like, you know, like a baby when they talk, they just say Baba, like Dada, for like Daddy, you know, and he said it would be like that. So I remember praying and I was like, okay, just make a sound, because he told me to make a sound, right? Then I remember I was going, right? And then I was like sitting there for like ages, okay, like it's not gonna come. But then I was like, no, it's gonna come, you know. And then all of a sudden my mouth started like moving and my tongue started like vibrating and I was like, oh my gosh, it's coming. And I was like, just make a louder sound. So like, like that. And then all of a sudden it was like legit like hit my tongue and it was like rolling and I was like, oh my gosh, and I just couldn't stop.
Come on, let's celebrate God. Amen. Say rivers. Rivers of living water. Rivers. Say rivers. Didn't start off as, but it burst.
You see, when I got the text, she texted me, I've been praying in the Holy Ghost for 2 hours. Now you know that's just like her, amen? I didn't doubt that, right? I was like, I don't know if you really mean that. I was like, I am surprised it's not four. Are you with me? Tell a story.
Okay. This is Michaela, Chris's sister, and we are really close with them, and we'd been praying actually for quite a while, just that both of our families would come to be filled with the Holy Spirit and get to experience the level that we're living at. And so Michaela went with a group of ladies from BCC to the Joyce Meyer Conference last fall. And one, maybe on the first day, I don't know, it was almost immediately that she started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just, you know, that if there's more of God, do you want it? And Michaela stood up and I'm like trying to contain my excitement and not like scream and run around. But she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith at that time, did not begin in praying in other tongues. Until recently. I don't know. Do you want her to share or do you want me to share?
Yes.
Or do you want it to be
shared? Just a portion. Day of things going on. What happened?
Okay, so there's a lot of commotion in church, and obviously the Spirit was working with Pastor, and in my life there's been times whenever people are gathered in prayer and stuff, I have felt attacked. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I apologize. But they're going to get me in trouble. They think I put you a pregnancy. Just stay right there.
So he gives the microphone to the other person who cries in front of everybody all the time. But she, Pastor brought everybody together in the very center of the church. And she just happened to be in the very center of the center with no way to get out physically. And in the midst of all the things that she was experiencing, I think you told me that you just recognized that in the middle of this attack, not only was she trying to run away from the attack, but it caused her to also have to withdraw from the presence of God as well. And she decided this time that she wasn't going to do that. And also she couldn't. And so she just began to say, hold on to me, hold on to me, hold on to me. And she said that she couldn't really understand herself at all, but she recognized that what she was praying that she couldn't understand. So she's like, maybe that was it. And she began to do it more and confirmed and agreed with her that yes, in fact, she was praying in tongues and that God just, and she, what it was really exciting that she finally recognized, this is the first time I feel like I really kicked the devil in the teeth today. And just that did manifest, and it wasn't immediate, but it did manifest at the time God knew it needed to happen and the way it needed to happen to completely envelop every part of her and take her to the new level of glory.
Come on, let's celebrate. Hallelujah. Last one, just one more. Say last one. Demonstration of God's Spirit and power. Amen. Wonderful. Sanctification, set apart for holy use, coming to provisions, spirit filled, wanting to yet manifest. You just heard two manifestations of it. Manifested, spirit filled, loving Jesus Christ. She's so, you know, on that other end of the spectrum, she's not even sure why she's here in school and why she's running track. Breaking records, getting put up in the, you know, all of these kind of records and stuff, but I'm just really here for Christ. Whatever. Keep breaking records. I can't go anywhere. I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have no one else but God. Poof, birth to flame. Are you with me? Wonderful demonstrations of the Spirit. Now, she's a little shy. Say hi. Okay. I'm so blessed. Come up, Tiny, now, please, if we will. Thank you. On last week, this is what happened. Last week.
Well, Pastor preached a powerful word about believing. And he did an altar call for the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well as for salvation. And several people came up, and I had the honor, truly an honor, to, Pines and I got the honor to pray with our sister Brittany, who accepted the Lord for the very first time. I asked her, have you ever done this before? Because sometimes we want to reestablish our faith, and we're saved once, but we sometimes want to recommit. And she said, no, I've never done this before. So it was just such an honor to be able to pray with her, to explain the goodness of God, his grace, the amazing gift that we receive when we believe. It's not what we do, but just by receiving, by believing. And she confessed him as her Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. Come on now. Wait a minute. If heaven can rejoice, what should we be doing on earth? Demonstration of power and spirit. Now you might, you might be thinking, Pastor, I don't think you should be trying to like show off and stuff. No, not trying to show off. Demonstration of power and spirit. Things are going on behind the stage and behind the scenes. If you never see it, you won't be able to believe it. But when you come out from behind the tent and look up and see the stars, then you can believe God and it'll count to us as righteousness. It'll set you on flame. Now just listen to what she says, if I can get her to say it. Just say it.
I said that before I accepted him as my savior, I felt I would come to church and I felt like discontent, just like I was being pulled into two pieces, like the part of me that like wanted to worship God and the other part of me that felt like almost like I wasn't worthy, like I shouldn't be here. And then after I accepted him, I said that I just felt like it just all came together and I just felt like relief and like peaceful.
Come on. Hallelujah. Everybody stand to their feet. Everybody stand to your feet. You may go back to your seat. Thank you so much. You may return to your seats. Thank you. These people up front, amen. Let's stand. Just one line or two, Peter. Go ahead. Father, we thank you that your wisdom, your plan, your purposes is to provide for every single one of us. For the one that feels as though they're furthest away from you, Jesus, like they've got an internal civil war, conflicted within. Lord Jesus, you cause us to have peace by you entering in. Father, for the one that wants right and good stuff, they want to live a right life, they want to receive from the promises of God that have been prayed over and prophesied over, but God, they don't see them manifested. To the one, Lord God, that's inside the tent and trying to comprehend something greater and bigger or closed in, I pray, Jesus, that this message would cause them to know that God wants them to come out the tent and to look at the vision that he gives them, far bigger and far greater than the man, than the imagination. Father, we are embarking on this particular Holy Week. We're going to come in on Friday and we're going to know nothing else except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then, Lord God, as we enter into a fast, we are going to set ourselves apart to just be in the likeness for a moment of the sufferings by which you received and you dealt with. And then upon Sunday morning, we shall come corporately worshiping as a body to celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dear God, I pray that everyone that is listening agreeing that we would enter into believing and being established to the Aman. We want to rely on, trust in, and cling to you, God. In all these things we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you celebrate Jesus with me right now? Come on. Hallelujah.